This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I had a revelation last night. I was watching Chloe Zepp and Mitchell's YouTube channel, and the starting song, the intro song, it literally sounds like Chloe Zepp singing, but it's not her. Does anybody else think this?
Yes, I think we need to insert it here for those who have not heard of it.
Even if the good doesn't seem good, we'll stick together forever.
Now, I like watching Chloe and Mitch's YouTube channel, but I hate the song, but I find myself singing along
really?
To it. Yeah, like if I'm alone.
But is that not exactly what Chloe Zepp's voice would be if she sang really well? And actually, she does have quite a good singing voice from what I've heard on her Insta stories.
Yeah, she does. It was a little bit of that like rise and shine Kylie Jenner moment. Yeah. There's a bit of a huskiness to the voice that I think would belong to her. Maybe we've got to track down who the singer of this theme song is. Is it just me? Or do you always imagine when you're listening to a podcast that people look way better looking than they actually are?
It's funny you say that because my mind was blown when I saw what the people from You're Wrong About look like. So I used to imagine that Michael Hobbs looked like that actor from Schitt's Creek. I think his name is Daniel Levy.
Well, whenever I listen to Call Her Daddy, I always imagine Alex Cooper looking like Barbie from that like LA Wag show.
Oh.
And she really does actually look like her.
I imagine her looking like Tokyo from Money Heist. I don't know why.
It's funny. I actually imagine her looking like Kendra from the Playboy Mansion.
Well, I would love to hear, one, if you think that it sounds like Chloe Zepp singing in their starting YouTube bit. And I would also love to hear if there are certain people that you've heard on podcasts that you imagine to look like a totally different person.
I've got to say, it was funny because in our Facebook community, we shared that Michelle Andrews had gotten engaged. So congratulations to Michelle. It was really lovely news. However, someone posted a comment saying that they have always been getting Michelle and Zara mixed up and they couldn't believe that Michelle was actually
I'm perplexed as to whether people imagine us just looking like the same person, because we've got so many comments that people can't tell our voices apart, and we're really trying hard to think of a way to make it a bit easier for everyone.
Just auto-tune them to different numbers.
I'm Nadia Bartel, fashion ambassador at High Point Shopping Centre and lifestyle blogger at Chronicles of Nadia.
She's a glamorous fashionista that has become an Australian style icon. Nadia Bartel owns a highly successful fashion label, ran a popular fashion blog, managed a high-end e-commerce store, and is a mum to two boys. However, often in the media, she is reduced to simply the status of a wag. Today, on her 36th birthday, we take a look back at who is really behind that wag status, from her life in magazines to that infamous breakup.
Sophie and I were really excited to talk about Nadia. We were discussing it last week and it seemed perfect with today being her birthday to actually do a deep dive about her life. And I don't know about you guys, but I realized that I'd never really heard Nadia speak before because I follow her on Instagram and I've seen her at the Brownlow, but I didn't really know what she sounded like.
Yeah, that's the story of so many famous women. We spoke last week about Kate Middleton and also Princess Diana and how we never really heard them speak until they became engaged.
It is funny because when you don't hear someone's voice, you kind of develop an idea of what they're like in your head. And you realize as soon as you hear them speak that it's nothing to what they are actually like.
I was really impressed listening to Nadia speak on a Mamma Mia podcast, and it was from 2016, but she was so articulate. And doing a little bit of research into her past before she became a wag, she actually studied a Bachelor of Business Administration, Public Relations and Advertising and Applied Communication at La Trobe University.
I feel like this explains why she has been so successful with her brands, but also facing criticism in the public eye. She seems to have dealt with it in a really mature way.
Oh, definitely. What do you guys think of the term wag though? Because I feel like often when it's discussed, it seems to be a negative term or it has this negative connotation.
Yeah, I've got to agree. I mean, taking a look back at Nadia Bartel's life, I really do think that she was reduced to this wag status that is really not befitting to her or any of the wags. I do think it's sad that we have to classify women who date sportsmen as just being a wag. I feel like that really takes away their own personal status and achievements.
It does seem very old school, doesn't it? Just to be
like, it's pretty degrading, I feel.
It is a very degrading term. There's a lot of connotations that come with the term wag. And what I think about is someone who is a gold digger, someone who wants fame, and someone who has no life or ambitions of their own. And I think when we take a look back at all of the things Nadia had achieved, she is so far from that. And she really has, you know, become into her own brand, particularly since she has separated from Jimmy Bartel.
One thing that I was most surprised about when I was doing my research was the fact that I couldn't actually remember what Nadia Bartel's maiden name was. Can you guys think of it?
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. It's just because she still goes by Nadia Bartel, obviously, now.
Yeah, well, her maiden name is actually Nadia Coppolino, and I just can never remember her being referred to as that.
Well, I think because Nadia is quite a unique name, I think that's a lot of the time what she probably was referred to, just simply Nadia, when we were introduced to her for the first time.
Do you think it's a point of the Australian media being a little bit racist in the fact that her last name is Italian and a little bit difficult to say? Because I feel like Rebecca Judd was always known as Rebecca Twigley for a long time and people knew her name.
I mean, that could be it, but I also feel like Nadia Bartel became more of an icon after she got married. That's the thing. I struggle to think of a lot of other wags' last names apart from Rebecca Twigley. And I think the reason Twigley stuck was because the media was so obsessed with her skinny frame. Yeah. So I feel like the word twig really stuck with her.
Do you also think it might be because of Instagram? Because Nadia Bartel got married to Jimmy in 2014. So that was kind of the peak of Instagram. I know it was around 2011, but I think she used to go by her Chronicles of Nadia.
Yes.
So I think maybe we weren't used to seeing her full name on her Instagram handle.
That's like Mark Murphy's girlfriend. She was huge on Instagram, but she didn't go by her full name. She went by one of those blog account names.
Yeah, Say Vogue or something. Yeah. I think she still is that. Yeah, Jessie Haberman, I think her maiden name was. Anyway, so before Nadia actually met Jimmy Bartel, as I said, she studied at uni and she actually became an account and advertising manager at Marie Claire and InStyle. So she worked in the magazine industry for 5 years before launching her own online fashion hub called Chronicles of Nadia in 2013.
That really surprises me because I didn't know that she had a background in magazines at all. I assumed that, you know, as the media likes to have us think, that she kind of piggybacked off part of Jimmy's fame and started that up. So that's actually pretty amazing that she started her own blog off the back of her previous experience.
Now, Soph, please tell me you get the joke, the name, Chronicles of Nadia. Do you get it?
Oh, is it Narnia?
Yes, Chronicles of Narnia.
It did take me a few to pass the test.
Well, I think, Sophie, that there might have been some confusion around, as you said, this idea that Nadia was piggybacking off Jimmy, because the pair actually met in 2018 when Nadia was working as a promotional model at the Grand Prix. So I feel like I potentially thought she was just a model, which, you know, back in 2008, I feel like that was quite common way... It was quite a common way for women to think about wags. And I think that now we've really understand that, no, these women do so much more and they've really got their own life and their own successes that I think that's why I'm so happy to talk about Nadia today.
I think it does stem from a little bit of jealousy, to be honest, because I feel like AFL footballers are so sought after. So when we do see them dating particular women, we think, oh, they must be a model. They mustn't do anything. They must just be using them for their money and their fame.
Well, I also think that in the early 2000s, and as we said, this happened in 2008, I feel like around that time, for a lot of girls growing up, it sort of seemed like the ultimate status symbol if you were dating an AFL player.
I don't know.
Obviously, we live in Adelaide, which is a very heavily AFL crazed state. So I assume in Melbourne it would be 10 times worse, and the amount of AFL players going to nightclubs and being about town would be absolutely enormous.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a status thing. And Nadia actually met Jimmy when Geelong were at their peak of their success. So Geelong had just won a premiership in 2007, and they then backed it up by being in the grand final in 2008. So Nadia was actually interviewed at one of the grand finals to give advice on how partners should deal with their partner, you know, being a part of such a big sporting spectacle. And she was just so lovely and was just saying that, you know, you've really got to be there to support your partner. You can't change who you are to them, win or loss. And it was really interesting to hear that very caring side to her, because we obviously know what's happened. And for those who don't, there is a very sad affair story that we're going to get into. But
it was just interesting to hear her talk so lovingly about Jimmy.
Do you know what? This is so random, but I've been watching Chloe and Lamar, the old series.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because we were talking just earlier about how it's every young girl's dream to date a footballer back in the day. But watching that, it seemed to be such a horrible life as a wife or girlfriend of an elite athlete because everything is about them. Poor Chloe had to follow Lamar over to Texas and he took all of his moods out on her. And I feel like there is this very unglamorous side of actually being a wife and girlfriend that people don't really talk about.
Well, Nadia actually shared her thoughts on the term WAG on a Mamma Mia podcast. And she basically said that she doesn't love the term. And she says that, you know, people have got to remember that they're actually in Australia. It's not like they are dealing with athletes that have the wealth of soccer players and that people seem to kind of make out that their life is so glamorous when it's really not. And I've got to say, it's hard for, as Sophie said, we've grown up watching AFL football. Like, we were massive Crows fans and it used to be a big deal. Like, your whole weekend would revolve around watching the football. I remember we would watch the Brownlow. It would be such a big deal. And I think a lot, as you were we were touching on before, a lot of people were very jealous watching those events. Yeah. I remember being jealous and thinking, oh my God, what an amazing, glamorous lifestyle. And then you look at their Instagrams and they're always wearing beautiful things. So I can see why people make that mistake.
But as you touched on, I think the Brownlow has a lot to answer for this tag WAG because, as you say, it's always touted as the night of nights. I mean, in Australia, we really don't have that many award ceremonies apart from the Logies.
The Arias as well.
The Arias, sorry. But we really don't have many award shows. So we see these women looking the best they can look, being dressed by, you know, huge designers on the arms of an attractive football player. So we do only see that glamorous side. We don't see them at home having to put up with the moods from their partners or having to take care of the children while their partners are away traveling. We never got to see that side. So that's why we assumed it was such a glamorous lifestyle.
On that point of the Brownlow medal, do you remember when they did the wagon wheel?
Oh,
so they basically
disgusting.
Just had this little turned, yeah, they had this wheel set up where they
Lazy Susan.
It basically was a big Lazy Susan, but the WAG had to stand on it and it just moved around so you could see the outfit. And
it was so degrading. Who thought that was a good idea? It is so great to see how we have moved forward because and that is no longer acceptable.
Yeah. Well, talking about degrading, during my research, I came across an article about how Nadia had actually had her drink spiked at a Geelong bar. Now, this was in 2011. And it's pretty shocking because the article was originally published on news.com.au and was entitled Brownlow WAG, I Think My Drink Was Spiked. So to begin with, I think this is a pretty shocking title, just referring to her as a Brownlow WAG, like as if she's not even a person. But it got worse. It was then republished under the title, I Felt Like I Couldn't Breathe, says Nadia Coppolini after collapsing outside bar. So there's just no context as to why she's collapsed. It's kind of trying to promote her as this drunk idiot that's out and about.
Well, this woman has literally been targeted by someone with bad intentions, either looking to potentially attack her or rape her. And these are the sort of headlines that we're leading with.
And you can see why this is why people just have this really bad idea of WAGs and don't really think of them and the person that's actually behind them.
Yeah, because if you just read that headline and didn't read the rest of the article, you would think that she just got blackout drunk and she's collapsed outside of a pub.
So moving on, 2 years later, Jimmy proposed to Nadia in a romantic candlelit dinner in a secluded hut on a private beach in Mexico. It sounds pretty lavish. So she was proposed to with this amazing ring that was like, it's an absolute rock. Have you guys seen it?
I have seen it in photos. It's exquisite, it
this
is.
Rock.
Well, this was really the start of what people thought was a fairy tale romance. The wedding planning really got started early. They got the Style Co. on board, who tried to create a really relaxed resort-style getaway experience for their wedding, which was held on the Ballerine Peninsula. And it seemed very fitting because they also had a Mexican vibe, which related back to the proposal.
This wedding was absolutely incredible. And if anyone wants to check it out, the video is still available on Nadia Bartel's YouTube channel. Apparently, the team at the Style Co. clocked up over 900 hours of planning, designing, prepping, doing everything to get this wedding perfect. And it really didn't disappoint. As you said, they had this really cool Mexican resort style theme. They had lots of like long lounges outside. They were serving cocktails. It was just there was so much attention to detail.
Well, that's what happens when you employ, I assume, a very expensive wedding planning business.
I hope they weren't charging by the hour. Like 900 hours. My goodness.
We have to talk about the dress. So she had two dresses. I feel like she was very before her time with this one.
Yeah.
That being said, Kim Kardashian did get married in 2011, I believe, and had three dresses.
So who were the dresses designed by? Were they sort of high profile designers?
Well, this is my best attempt at the French label. They were designed by Jaton. Couture gowns.
Yeah. So that's a very Beck Judd label. She always seems to wear that to the Brownlow.
So the first dress was a silk jersey couture gown that was hand beaded with glass pearls and studded ceramic beads.
I really love, because Nadia actually did a flashback to her wedding dress on Instagram, and she said how heavy the dress actually was.
This recently?
No, like a few years after the wedding.
Say, it's not really something you'd want to talk about now.
No, but she did look absolutely stunning, and she said that she was going for a sexy yet classy vibe, and she really seemed to hit the brief with the dress that she chose.
Now, the second one was made from lace and leather, so I don't feel like that one would have been any more comfortable than the first.
No, it didn't really look that much more comfortable. I thought it was really interesting because Nadia actually said that in year 10 at high school, I had my debutante ball, and I firmly told mum and dad that it would be the only time they saw me in a white wedding style dress, so they had better remember it. That all changed when I met Jim. It's really hard hearing that quote back, because it's clear that the couple were very much in love at the time of their wedding, and it's strange to sit back in 2021 and think, you know, I was watching their video and I'm like, how have they broken up? Like, how have all these horrible things happened?
Well, that being said, I think that so many couples find themselves in this situation and do fall out of love. I do think that they were both very much in love at the time, but sometimes life takes over and you evolve and change as people.
Yeah, well, Nadia actually touched upon on this interview on a Mamma Mia podcast about how her life was really hectic. So at this point she was interviewed, she'd just given birth, well, I think he was 10 months old, to Austin, her first son, with Jimmy. And she spoke about how she was really trying to juggle everything. And, you know, it got to the end of the day where she'd come home, and while her and Jimmy would have dinner together, they wouldn't really spend that much quality time. And they really tried to on the weekend. But again, if you're playing AFL football, that can really be difficult.
Well, it's definitely a very selfish lifestyle. You've got to make sure your body is right, you're eating right, your head's in the game, you're at training. And a lot of the time, people around AFL players or other athletes, they do treat them differently to the general population.
Oh, they blow so much smoke up their ass.
They're constantly pandered to at these clubs and really treated as though they are children. So that's why I do think a lot of the time, these footballers and men find themselves in these situations and they never have any repercussions for their actions.
Well, especially for Nadia. So she not only was trying to juggle everything that was going on with Jimmy and a new baby, but she also had her e-commerce platform that was doing really well. So she manages that with her sister. And she had the Chronicles of Nadia, her fashion vlog, that was really taking off. And it would have been a really hard time for a new mum.
Did I hear this right, that Jimmy did all the cooking in the family? Because that really surprised me.
Yeah, so Nadia was saying that she's not really a very good cook. So she said she's not like a traditional Italian woman, and that Jimmy would joke that he thought he was going to be getting like pastas and lasagnas like her mum would cook. But she did say that her mum's a very good cook.
I actually love this. I love the fact that she said, no, this isn't my strength. I'm too busy. I mean, really, for AFL players, they do spend a lot of time at home. So why not do the cooking?
Well, in 2019, Nadia and Jimmy welcomed their second child, Henley. And I've got to love that name.
That is so cute.
Yeah. So he is gorgeous. The two kids are like the spitting image of Jimmy. They've got the gorgeous blue eyes that he has. And so, you know, at the time when you looked at their family on Instagram, they looked bloody perfect. You know, they were jet setting on amazing holidays. Nadia's got her, you know, her e-commerce platform. Jimmy's extremely successful. And they just look like the perfect couple. And so everyone was extremely shocked in August 2019 when the couple reported that they had split. So apparently they had actually split 2 months earlier, and people only noticed that they weren't together because they weren't following each other on Instagram.
I feel like that's the way everyone finds out these days.
Yeah. And was this actually reported in the newspaper that they weren't following each other?
Yeah, it was reported on, and then they had to come out and kind of confirm it. And basically Jimmy stayed tight-lipped. All he said was, yeah, it's not great on 3AW radio.
Well, just days after confirming this breakup, Jimmy was then romantically linked to a Melbourne socialite called Lauren Mand.
Now, before we get into Lauren, I really feel like it's important to go into the drama over the green dress, because I wasn't even aware of this and I was following the breakup story. Yeah, have you guys heard about it?
No, it's so random as well, because you always hear a little black dress, but yeah, a green dress. It seems very ominous.
I actually had heard about the green dress, but like you should fill us in more detail.
Okay, so this green dress saga was sort of the beginning of the end for the relationship. So one day Nadia was rearranging clothes in her dressing room and she noticed that her prized green gown was missing. So this dress was very Brownlow-esque. I'm assuming it was very expensive. So the story goes that the dress disappeared when Nadia wasn't around. So it didn't really take her very long to realize that Jimmy had actually entertained someone at their home while she wasn't there and they'd borrowed the dress. So they had a huge argument over this dress, and apparently Jimmy claimed that one of his AFL buddies had borrowed it. However, Nadia's a very smart woman and she realized, of course, it had to be a woman who took the dress.
I mean, it's not the smartest move on Jimmy's behalf, is it, to loan out your wife's dresses to your most recent conquests?
No, I mean, I don't even understand, like, was he aware that the woman took the dress? Like, what was going on?
But also, particularly when Nadia is known for her style, like,
yeah,
this dress would have appeared in so many photos of her at different events.
What a low blow as well. Not only do you cheat on your wife, but you steal her dress and give it to somebody else.
Oh, it's absolutely disgusting. So apparently a source told media that the dress was only returned once Jimmy rang the woman in question and demanded she return the dress ASAP.
Now, I heard that this conversation was a very loud one at a hairdressing salon.
Yeah, so apparently this source said that the girl that had taken the dress was at the hairdresser, and Jimmy was absolutely tearing shreds off her and was screaming down at the phone demanding she return the dress. So strangely, the woman in question wasn't actually Lauren Mand, who is at the center of the Bartel split. It was actually a woman Jimmy knew from Geelong, where he and Nadia used to live until he retired in 2016. So it seems to me that he was having a lot of affairs behind Nadia's back.
Now, it's safe to say that this green dress incident really was the catalyst for the split.
Well, you'd have to say so, because that's confirmation that Jimmy is entertaining women whilst you're away. However, it seems like Jimmy Bartel's sort of PR team is trying to push a different narrative. And that narrative is that the beginning of the end was actually when Nadia went to Coachella with fellow WAGs Rebecca Judd, Jessie Murphy and Kylie Brown.
I have to say, I did see this trip plastered all over Instagram. And I did wonder whether the husbands were a bit dirty on the fact they didn't get to come on the trip.
Well, do you know what I think they're dirty on? The fact that when they retire from football, no one really cares who they are, but there's still a massive interest in their wives.
Well, what year did Jimmy Bartel actually retire?
So he retired in 2016.
So obviously he might have been experiencing a lot of lows that we do hear AFL players experiencing, and maybe trying to do something to kind of feel that adrenaline rush again.
I totally agree with what you're saying, Soph, because one source told the media that Jimmy was getting increasingly upset at what he saw as Nadia's total lack of respect for money, and they argued over bills that were coming pouring in from that trip to Coachella. So he apparently read her the riot act over her spending. So the source said that she'd started her own business and he'd tipped a lot of money into it. He told her that she shouldn't be acting like a rock star when she has a business to run. Jimmy came from a pretty poor background and he's very careful with his money. I found this very interesting that this was the agenda that one news publication was trying to push, because I feel like it's pretty obvious that Jimmy Bartel cheated on Nadia Bartel. I mean, we've got Lauren Mand, who's basically come out and confirmed it. The pair are now together. They're still together. However, the media are going back on this whole WAG status and are trying to push that, oh no, it was Nadia who's greedy and just wants Jimmy's money and was acting like a rock star and being spoiled. And it's like, no, this poor woman was actually cheated on.
Well, he's trying to throw mud, isn't he? To confuse people about what's actually gone on.
Yeah, well, people want to believe that Jimmy is a great guy. Like, people follow his AFL career. He was voted the 2014 sexiest player. Like, there's a lot of women that love Jimmy Bartel.
He did seem like a genuinely nice guy too. He seemed quite softly spoken and he seemed really committed to Nadia.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the worst thing out of this whole ordeal is the fact that Nadia found out about the affair through a text message.
Oh.
Now, she hasn't actually specified what was in this text message, but I can't even begin to imagine how heartbreaking it would be to find out about an affair in this way.
Yeah, Nadia hasn't gone into too much detail about the affair, which I can totally understand, but she has come out to the media and said, "Although I'm heartbroken, I don't want to comment specifically on what has been reported about Jim's trip to the UK, as I don't think that's in anyone's interest. My single focus now is to protect, care, and provide for my two beautiful boys, and this is a personal matter." Now, that was the first official comment Nadia made about the breakup to the Herald Sun. And in terms of this reference to the UK, this is about the fact that Jimmy went to London to meet up with Lauren Mand, who had just moved over there.
Now, Soph, I've heard there were a few cryptic Instagram posts going on from Lauren.
Yeah, so Lauren shared a cryptic post to her Instagram story less than a month before Jimmy revealed he'd split with Nadia. So she took a photo of her coffee at a cafe, as you do, and wrote, "Undecided but in love." So the telling photo comes just days after Lauren made their relationship Instagram official.
So was Jimmy in this photo or was he tagged? Or?
No, he was not in the photo.
It was a cryptic message.
Who else is she in love with?
Okay. And particularly, you know, it's quite clear it's an affair because it was posted a month before it was announced. So you're not really going to be like start dating someone once they've split.
Can you imagine how much time and effort goes into having an affair with someone who literally lives in a different country?
Well, why would you put the effort in as well? Because you normally think that someone's having an affair because it's kind of they know the person, they're easy to meet up with. But yeah, it's not really easy to, you know, it's quite clear that it was much more than a sexual affair if you're willing to travel to the UK.
Yeah, it's an emotional affair. So now being in 2021, what is the current relationship between Lauren and Jimmy?
So they're officially together. They're now living together. They did like the lockdown all together. Lauren is kind of like a stepmom figure to Nadia and Jimmy's children.
Well, so, she has relocated from London to Melbourne. Yeah, I feel like we've got a point
here. Yeah, she's back in Melbourne. And she recently posted on her Instagram story that it is the highlight of her day coming home to Aston and Henley.
I just can't even begin to imagine how Nadia would feel hearing that. Obviously, she's very happy that the kids get along with Lauren, but I would feel really funny about that.
Yeah, it would be horrible. So post breakup, Nadia did speak to Stella magazine in April 2020, and she, you know, opened up that she was struggling with her marriage breakdown and the cruel comments that came from trolls as a result of it. So she said, "This is never what I thought would happen. Every day is tough." And she explained how trolls would comment claiming that Jimmy had upgraded with his new girlfriend. And she said, "Being from Melbourne, football is so big here. I was used to the negative attention I got in my situation. I do put things on social media, so I've put myself out there. But I was at the hardest point in my life, and then to have articles written that weren't true and to have hundreds of hate comments on Instagram and the continual pounding, it was difficult. Just because you date or are married to a sports person, people think you're fair game. You can say whatever you want. If you look at any other industry, do you critique their partner like this?"
Now, Nadia really took these trolling comments in her stride, and she worked really hard to have this massive comeback. And the most pivotal moment, I'd say, was the Brownlow medal when she was invited to host the event for Channel 9, and Jimmy Bartel wasn't even at the event. And she had the most incredible revenge dress on. We talk about Princess Diana's black revenge dress, but this dress was something else.
So for those who don't watch the Brownlow medal, Nadia was hosting the red carpet arrivals, which, let's be honest, that's all everybody watches and talks about. No one actually cares about the actual medal.
I switch off when it's the count.
Yeah. It was just to show also that she didn't need Jimmy to be invited there. She got there on her own merits. I loved it. It was such a great moment for her.
It was a big FU, wasn't it?
Yeah. Another FU was when she appeared on the All New Monty in 2019. So she stripped with the other celebrities on that show. And she's also done a lot of ambassador work. But I think the most momentous thing that she has done is that she's continued with her personal label, Henny. So she did start the brand in 2019, and as was touched upon, apparently Jimmy put some money into it. However, it has truly flourished in 2020. And in a time when a lot of brands have actually crumbled with COVID. So it's pretty incredible what she has managed to do with her brand. And it's actually been so successful that she closed her online fashion store, The Connection, so she could focus entirely on Henny.
It's also been heavily reported on that Nadia still has very firm friendships with other wives and girlfriends, and that seems to have only gotten stronger. I feel like a lot of those women have really shown solidarity towards Nadia.
Oh, definitely. So Beck Judd was actually quoted in the Stella article saying, "I think over time she's learned to block and delete the trolls and focus her energy on the people who matter in life. She's resilient and does a great job of getting on with it." Now, I absolutely love the relationship between Beck and Nadia. I actually didn't know they owned a tanning company, Spray Oz, together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about Nadia's love life? Is there anybody in the picture?
So speculation grew around lockdown in September when Nadia was spotted going for a jog with Melbourne personal trainer Nathan Brody. So they came out and said that they were just friends. However, Nathan then shared a photo of Nadia sunbaking in a bikini on his Instagram story with the caption, "Weekend vibes."
Oh, well, I love this, that she's getting back into the dating scene with a hot personal trainer.
Mm. Yeah, it's very fitting. I have really loved seeing Nadia flourish in this post-WAG life, and I can't wait to see what she has in store for all of us next.
Let's do
Let's get into the influencer wrap. And on Wednesday, Sky Wheatley opened up to her Instagram followers about the struggle she faces engaging other influencers for her new clothing brand, Good People Apparel. And as she said in her story, this was feisty Sky coming through. She was very frustrated about an influencer who had reached out to her for a collaboration and had worn the clothes but did not tag Good People Apparel in the stories.
Oh.
And she said that in this influencer world, there is of course an expectation to tag when you are sent a gifted product. She said even if it was just an unboxing of the item, she expected something.
Yeah, especially if you've asked for it. It's not like the brand has just sent you the item.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't Lauren Curtis, was it?
No, it wasn't Lauren. Well, we actually don't know exactly who it was. She did explain how costly it can be for small brands to send out gifted items to influencers and not receive that exposure back. I did find this whole rant really interesting because she is an influencer herself.
Yeah, it is a bit weird. I kind of was surprised that this was her take on the situation, considering, as you said, she's in the influencer industry, because I don't think you can, as a brand, you can send items out and expect everyone to post about them. I feel like you can do your best to pick people that may post about it. But at the end of the day, a lot of influencers, you know, that their brand deals are their salary. Yeah, so you can't expect them to do it for free.
Yeah,
this is a different scenario because the girl has asked.
That's the thing. I actually completely agree with Sky in that sense, because this person has reached out asking for the goods and basically saying they want to do a collaboration where they get the items in exchange for a post.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
in this situation,
I understand that, but I'm just saying I think that you can't expect micro influencers to work for free if you're communicating with them by just sending them something and hoping they
post. No, but that's completely different. The whole point is this girl contacted them.
It's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it, though, if you're that influencer and you've specifically asked. And then, you know, Sky has said in this rant that this woman has tagged everything else except her brand.
And Sky did point out that she completely understands what it's like to constantly be receiving packages, and it can get very overwhelming. However, she did think in this case, as the woman had reached out, she does have the due diligence of posting something and tagging them.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. So who do we think it is? Because I did see Sky share a photo of Chloe Zepp and Artie wearing Good People Apparel. Well, however, they hadn't tagged Sky in the post.
Well, that's the thing. There are two names that have been floating around. The first is Jessica Wilson, who is a mummy blogger. The second, as you said, is Chloe Zepp.
Allegedly.
But Chloe Zepp's not a micro-influencer, so...
No, well, Sky didn't say this person is a micro-influencer. She didn't speak on their following yet.
I doubt Sky would be calling Chloe Zepp out, because I feel like Chloe Zepp is kind of in an influencer status above Sky, and she did share the photo. So,
well, the interesting thing is obviously there was a bit of speculation around the place that got back to Sky, and she did clear up the following day that it was not Jessica who she was referring to. She said she's been very appreciative of Jessica's work and she has worked really hard to promote the brand. However, she didn't acknowledge or confirm that it wasn't Chloe Zepp.
Wow. Do you think it was helpful to Sky to call out an influencer regarding promotion? Because it kind of makes it awkward now when she sends further products out.
I really don't think it was a clever move from a business perspective, because it just put a negative microscope over the brand and the dealings. I don't think, I mean, that being said, we are talking about it now, so maybe someone who listens might go out and buy something from Good People Apparel.
No, yeah, and do you know what? And every influencer that receives it's going to be like, oh shit, I don't want her to call me out. Actually, I'm going to post about it.
I did see Michael Finch post 10 minutes after Sky's rant went live and tagged her, thinking, oh shit, I've probably been sitting on this content for days.
I'm not going to let anyone talk about me like I'm a piece of garbage. He's trying to be a lad out there in front of all the boys. I don't want a lad, I want a gentleman, someone that's going to talk about me with a bit of respect.
Love Island UK favourites Maura Higgins and Chris Taylor have announced they've called it quits after 7 months of dating. In a statement, the pair said they work better as friends.
I was really upset by this news because I was really rooting for them. They seemed so good together. Yeah. And for those who don't know, Chris and Maura met on Love Island, but they never actually hooked up on the show. They were purely friends because she was coupled up. Well, she left the show with Curtis.
Mm. Oh, that dickhead.
Yeah, that dickhead. And then I feel like they had this friendship while she was dating Curtis and then must have really realized that they did like each other. Yeah. So last November, the pair excitedly told fans that they were more than friends whilst holidaying in Dubai.
I love that they're holidaying in Dubai in November.
During
hell.
A pandemic.
Well, in a statement Maura shared to her Insta story this week, she said, "There is no wrongdoing on either side. We still love, care and respect each other deeply. From the minute we met each other, we've been close friends and that will never change. There is no regret. Life is about taking chances. We wanted to make this work but have realized we work better being friends."
Just your typical breakup announcement that they're going to stay friends. And
yeah,
friends.
How can you be friends after this situation?
Yeah,
you
can't. Well, do you guys think that that's genuine and they are going to be friends?
No. I feel like, I don't know, reading between the lines, I think Maura has been the one to end things because Chris always seemed a bit in awe of her.
Mm.
I feel like maybe he was, I think he's very sweet, but he probably felt like he was batting with Maura. And I think that it's Maura who's probably thought, gosh, I really liked your personality, but maybe we're not more than that.
Well, do you know what? Obviously, everyone's really upset in the UK about this. And The Mirror got in a relationship expert to talk about why this relationship was doomed from the beginning. And they've given it a few reasons. They've said, one, this was a lockdown relationship. And so clearly now everything's starting to open up again. They've broken it off.
Well, I also feel like not necessarily that everything's opening up again, but perhaps they were stuck in this small apartment.
Yeah.
They've got on each other's nerves. They haven't been going out doing nice things with each other. Yeah.
And they also said the fact that they met on Love Island and there was no spark. They said that's often a telltale sign that a relationship's not going to work.
Well, I've always thought with these types of relationships is there's obviously Maura is going to get more attention if she couples up with someone that's from Love Island. They become a bit more of a power couple. We've very much seen that with Molly May and Tommy Fury. So do you think it was a little bit of a PR stunt as well?
So really? I don't think it was a PR stunt at all. Well, I mean, Maura's 30. She probably is looking to settle down with someone.
But hear me out. So they decide to hook up for the 6 months that they're in lockdown. And no one can really see them out. They could literally just post pretend photos of themselves together, get a lot of remain relevant.
I mean, I think that that's an interesting theory, but I definitely don't think it's true.
No, I don't think it is, but I just thought it was interesting.
Well, they did produce a lot of funny reels and TikToks together.
Yeah, we'll remember those. Hmm.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much again for listening to the podcast.
If you have enjoyed today's show, can you please show us where you're listening from? Tag us on Instagram at @outspoken_the_podcast or join us in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken The Podcast Community. We'll be talking about all of the topics from today's show.
And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review.